Funding for Think comes from SMU Continuing and Professional Education.
Fraternal twin brothers Jorge and Carlos Bernal Castro look nothing alike, but they've always had each other to play and squabble and dream with. Another set of brothers, Wilbur and William Cañas Velasco, can relate. They also grew up as fraternal twins who, as adults, made their homes in Bogota, Colombia. But here's the thing. These two sets of brothers had more in common than a sibling with the same birthday, because Jorge Bernal Castro was raised with a brother who was identical to William Cañas Velasco's brother. And Wilbur Cañas Velasco had a brother who was identical to Carlos Bernal Castro's brother. Are you following? These two sets of newborns, sent home as pairs of fraternal twins, were in fact identical twins, mistakenly separated until a series of coincidences reunited them. You're listening to Think on KERA. I'm Chris Boyd. This fascinating story appeared in the New York Times Magazine earlier this month, and as soon as I read it, I wanted everybody I knew to read it so we could talk about it. As we'll hear, there are implications for scientific research on the role of nature and nurture in our lives. The story also has fascinating social and emotional ramifications. Susan Dominus is the New York Times reporter who wrote The Mixed Up Brothers of Bogota, which you can read online. Jessica S. Montoya is a social worker and lecturer at Columbia University School of Social Work who has worked with the Bernal Castro and Cañas Velasco brothers since they discovered their unique relationship to one another. Welcome both of you to Think.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you for having us.
Susan, there are so many elements to this story. It's about genes and science and the effects of socioeconomic status. It has a huge emotional impact on the people involved. When you first heard about it, did you fully appreciate how complex it would be to tell this story?
No, I don't think it was really possible. I mean, you start to think about the first aspect of it, which is how strange to find that you have an identical twin, and that alone is sort of mind-blowing. But then you get to there's just ripple effect after ripple effect of realizations that these young men had about what they had gained in their lives, what they had lost in their lives, and, you know, what one small error in a hospital did to so many people's family lives and emotional lives.
The names and faces can get a little confusing, and I hope I got everything right in my introduction. I found myself like making a little chart as I was reading through the story. I wonder about your process for keeping everybody straight as you got to know these brothers.
Well, it's funny because actually when I was transcribing my notes from my I made two trips to Bogota, and when I was transcribing my notes from the first trip, we kept correcting each other. No, that one was William. Or did you mean William, whose name was actually William but was in fact, you know, Jorge? It was or Carlos, rather. Those were the two who were switched. It I would say it took a good 24 hours of spending time with them before I had no problem keeping all of them straight.
Jessica, as a social worker with a background in psychology, I wonder if there are particular questions that leapt to mind when you decided you wanted to meet and work with these brothers.
Well, definitely. The first part is when I heard about the exchange, I guess the research part of my mind is stay thinking about this needs to be a study, because it's the perfect situation from the combination of different, the variables kind of were controlled already. You will never have been able to do a study like this, just because it would be an ethical practice of exchanging people. But out of the situation that they were, they have an environmental aspect that was ready to be a study that is different. They have cultural aspects and were different. They have as well the biological component that was the same from both sides. So in my head, it went into this is the perfect situation to study and to be able to compare so many information and so many questions that for years all of us had been having about us human beings and what is more influential, if the psychological, the environmental aspects of life or the biological aspects.
Because they were sent home to, although neither family was wealthy, they were still sent home to families who were in very different circumstances socioeconomically.
Yes, you are correct. And also environmentally, not only socioeconomically, but environmentally. Mm-hmm. So the twins or the set of brothers that grew up in Santander, which are William and Wilbur, it is a country rural area. People live from crops and very rustic. Far from the city, very calm environment. And the two set of brothers who grew up in Bogota, which is the capital of the country, are Jorge and Carlos. And of course, it's a busy city, around 8 million, 9 million people, noisy city, buildings, everything else. So the environment is very different.
Susan, how did they first discover that they had this astonishing thing in common, these two sets of brothers who just thought, I have a twin, but he looks nothing like me?
Well, that's what's so astonishing about all this, is that the way they were separated was just a matter of happenstance, and the way they were reunited was such happenstance. Basically, Jorge worked with a couple of young women at an engineering firm in Bogota, and one of the young women, this gets a little bit confusing, but bear with me, her name was Janet Paez. Janet Paez's boyfriend was the cousin of Jorge's long-lost identical twin, William. And William works at a butcher shop, and one day Janet decided to bring her friend Laura there to, you know, get a good deal on some steak and some ribs for a barbecue they were going to. And Laura in particular was incredibly struck by the similarity between William, who was working at the butcher shop, and Jorge, her colleague from work. And eventually Janet made the connection as well. And Janet really just couldn't let it go, and she started showing each other, the two young men, their respective twins' photos. It was Jorge who really, when William saw the identical twin photo, he thought, oh, what a hilarious coincidence, and sort of let it go. But when Jorge saw the similarity, he was really struck by it. He really felt something powerful was going on. And when he went onto Facebook, he discovered a photo, not just of his, so he went onto Facebook to see pictures of his, you know, this person who looked just like him. And when he was scrolling through the photos, he actually saw one of William, his identical twin, with a young man who looked just like Jorge's own fraternal twin. And that's when, pretty quickly after that, he and the young women who were sharing the photos started to realize there must have been a swap at the hospital.
I mean, this is really a story that reminds me of something that, you know, Shakespeare or Mark Twain would have written and would have said, this is really delightful and interesting to think about, but it couldn't possibly happen in real life. But the thought of going online and seeing, say, for those of us who have fraternal siblings born at different times, seeing pictures of people who looked exactly like, say, you and your sister, I mean, I would think my first response would be that somebody was pranking me.
Well, I think that when they were looking at the pictures of the young men who looked, when Jorge was looking at the pictures of William, I think he did think it was a little bit disturbing, but mostly very funny, and how amazing and how could this be? But yes, when he saw the picture of, you know, his identical twin next to somebody who just looked like his own fraternal brother, I think he described it to me as going through that feeling that you're going through a mirror to some strange parallel universe. And again, I think eventually it didn't take that long before they figured out how something like this could have happened. But I think there was a moment of really chilling surreality to the experience that was deeply disturbing. And I think Carlos had an almost hostile reaction to it. He felt, I think he felt he was being pranked, not by the two young men, but by the universe in some way.
Jessica, you're quoted in Susan's article trying to imagine what it felt like for these brothers to digest this new part of their life stories all at once. You said it must be like going down a hole and not being able to feel the bottom.
Yeah, that analogy came out of Jorge's expression of feeling like a roller coaster, that emptiness, that sensation of falling down and having control over the fall, out of the emotions that they were experiencing every time that they were finding more information about each other's existence. And actually, particularly in the city that we were in, Santander, they have a famous biggest hole of the country. And that it was
the second biggest hole in the country.
Which it was a touristic, which it is a touristic attraction. And so the sense of it is because it's kind of a layer. So the first fall, you are falling down, you are finding out that you have another twin. But not only that, then your brother, who you thought that was your fraternal twin, actually has another identical twin as well. And once you kind of grasp that, then it's more complexity of finding out about how each one of them look, how each one of them had different attitudes meeting the family. So it's this sensation that you keep falling and falling, and maybe when you sense that you are starting to put your foot in some place, it goes down again because a new layer comes upon them. So that's kind of where the analogy came from.
One thing that was really important to William, who grew up in the rural area, Santander, was that anyone who was going to do research, Jessica, you and your colleagues, had to go and see the place where he and Wilbur were raised.
Yes. So when I approached them last year, in December, actually, I was in Colombia, and I was able to meet with them personally and introduce them the idea that Nancy Segal, who is a psychologist as well, who is specializing in studying twins, wanted to study them and be able to do some research from a professional perspective and be able to provide that information as well to them, the feedback. So all of them were very open to the idea. But definitely, William explicitly say, I want you to, the two of you, to visit the place where I grew up, not the place where my parents live currently, which was the one that it had been featured in another TV show. So my answer at the time is like, definitely, we want to get to know so many components about your life, your family, then going to where you grew up, it will be an amazing experience for us. And of course, I'm saying this not knowing where this was located and what it takes for us actually to be able to get there. And so we agree upon that. And I coordinate with him this traveling aspect of the research, letting him have the initiative because he knew the context. So I kind of gave him a lot of freedom in organizing this. We organized the logistic aspects of it, but it was the part that I did not have so much control or information about it. And I didn't know what to expect. And therefore, anybody else knew what to expect except them. And I think they were smart doing it that way, because if we have known what it took to get there, probably we will have no make it. And they were very smart of not telling us until we were there and figured it out. There is no way back. Like, we are in the middle of the process, so let's just keep pushing and arrive to the house where they grew up, which was very informative for us as well.
And I think it was also very astute of William to insist that we see, if for those who didn't read the article, what Jessica's referring to is a trip that was extremely long. And, you know, we were going over riverbeds and jeeps. And then when, you know, we've been traveling for hours and hours, and then it was time to walk. And it was extremely, it was a very, very muddy, muddy path. But I think he was astute because, you know, one of the criticisms of traditional reared-apart twin studies is that they that the environments aren't different enough of the separated twins to really be interesting. And I think William was really showing us just how different the environment in which he was raised was from that of his identical biological twin.
One of the first disagreements that the brothers had when they got together and began to know each other, and eventually they were all happy to know one another, but there was this question of how much will and personal sort of, I guess, ambition had to do with the outcomes of their lives.
I think a lot of that was unspoken, by the way. I mean, I think that Jorge and Carlos, who were the two young men who were raised in Bogota, did have discussions about what would have happened to Carlos if he had indeed been raised in the countryside, which is where he was, quote unquote, supposed to have been raised. And it was very hard for Carlos to let go of the idea that, you know, that he had enough determination and will that had he been raised in the countryside, he would have found a way to go to school, which his counterpart William did not, and his biological twin Wilbur did not. They did not finish school past 12th, the age of 12, that he would have made it to university, that, you know, for all we knew, even if he'd been raised in the countryside, he might have still been well on his way to becoming an accountant, which is his current path in life. And that, I think, was upsetting both to Jorge and to William, because it maybe underestimated just how controlling your environment and it can be, and how hard it can be to get an education if your parents aren't supporting you, if you don't have the resources.
We're speaking this hour with New York Times reporter Susan Dominus and social worker Jessica S. Montoya, who's also a lecturer at Columbia University School of Social Work. The article, The Mixed Up Brothers of Bogota, first appeared in the New York Times Magazine July 9th. You can find it online, along with pictures of the brothers we are talking about. If you'd like to be part of the conversation, you can call in to 1-800-933-5372. You can email think@kera.org or find me on Twitter at Chris Boyd Think.
Funding for Think comes from the SMU Master of Liberal Studies program. You can apply now for fall and design your own master's degree at SMU, a customizable evening master's degree for working professionals. More at smu.edu/MLS.
You're listening to Think on KERA. I'm Chris Boyd. The topic today is two sets of young men raised as fraternal twin brothers, Jorge and Carlos Bernal Castro and Wilbur and William Cañas Velasco. We are speaking this hour with the New York Times reporter Susan Dominus, who wrote a piece in the July 9th issue of the New York Times Magazine called The Mixed Up Brothers of Bogota. Also with us is Jessica S. Montoya, a social worker and lecturer at Columbia University School of Social Work, who has worked directly with the brothers to learn about their lives. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can call in to 1-800-933-5372. You can also email think@kera.org. So discovering something like this about yourself comes with a whole set of revelations, maybe explaining to the brothers who inadvertently were raised away from their biological families of why they had always felt different from their families. And I wonder about the extent to which that caused the brothers to be excited, whether they found what they were looking for when they met the people who were in fact biologically related to them.
Well, from what we were able to talk to them, I think gave them answers about certain characteristics of their personality among them. So the first nine that actually they discover each other, they met for the first time, they found each other in a plaza in Bogota. They decided, there were the three of them, only William, Wilbur, which were in the countryside, grew up in the countryside, and Jorge from Bogota met. And they decided that they wanted to go to meet Carlos at his house, which it was very curious because he had a very difficult reaction of opening the door, and he was very nervous and saying, I don't want to open the door. Kind of, no, he didn't want to face his reality yet. Yeah. But once they go to that point and they are sitting, they are very amicable. And what they start to do is they start to shoot questions among themselves, like, who is the one who is more organized? So then they will say, oh, Jorge and William. Who is the one who likes to dress better? Oh, Carlos and Wilbur. They start to notice all these little behaviors among themselves that attach actually the biological twins. They are matching them up. Who is the one who gets to be more irritable? And so they were able to identify that Carlos and Wilbur are the ones who will little more prone to five. And who are the jokers? William and Jorge. So again, all these little questions that they may have about the different personalities among siblings start to get shape and to find some answer and to find the similitudes, the similarities among them. And so to some degree, I would say, yes, they had been able to find some explanations about the way they behave and where that come from and the biological aspects of it, too.
Of course, there are differences, even physiological differences, between the brothers raised apart in different environments. Even though for the identical twins, they share the exact same genes, those genes express themselves differently in different environments. Notably, the two city brothers were both taller than their identical twins raised in the country.
That could be a function of food, you know, diet and nutrition. It could also just be coincidence that the two who were raised in the city were a little bit taller because, you know, there are epigenetic differences between identical twins most of the time anyway, sometimes very subtly. But it's not that uncommon to find that kind of a difference between identical twins.
How did it happen as each brother began to know someone who was his identical twin and also had this other, I don't even know how they defined the brother who looked exactly like their fraternal twin but they hadn't been raised with, and what kind of relationship that would be?
Well, I'm thinking, I guess there are different stages, if mm-hmm. I put it in some ways, of the relationship and how it evolves and changes. So the initial finding about each other, I think, is the sense of the mirror perspective. And it was very weird for them, as you can imagine. But it was even easier for them to focus the fact that they have a twin from their fraternal brother. Mm-hmm. So instead of focusing about each other's twin, they were looking more about the brother's twin and how similar is. So I'm going to give you an example. Jorge was looking more about Wilbur and how Wilbur was just like Carlos and the facial expressions. And for William, again, instead of focusing on Jorge, he was just checking out Carlos and how they look alike so much with Wilbur and the way that they laugh and the way that they walk. And so these type of things. So I guess now with the relationship has evolved, definitely we'll say Jorge sees William as his brother. They just, the perspective that they have taken is that the family has grown. This is a situation that took place out of their control, difficult to assimilate to some degree, but they had been very positive about it. They have used sense of humor as a way to cope, a mechanism to cope with it. And they had taken off, like the family has expanded, and instead of only having one fraternal twin, I have other two extra brothers that I didn't have before.
And I do think they think of each other all as brothers. I mean, so yeah, what is the answer to the question? Who, to me, is the identical twin of my fraternal brother? I think the boys would say my brother.
Hmm. Jorge and Carlos had already lost the woman who raised them both as her own sons.
Yes.
Their mother.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Karina.
And so it's strange to think about, you know, the brother who might have met his mother realizing, oh, this is already lost to me, this woman who is my biological mother.
I think William did take that news extremely hard. I think it's safe to say that although William, by the end of this entire process, felt very grateful for the life he's led and all the challenges that he has managed to made him stronger. I think in the very beginning, he was quite depressed to realize he was never going to have the opportunity to meet his biological mother. I think that was very, very painful for him.
And there were also things they did to let the brothers that they'd been raised with as brothers, their fraternal twins, if you will, that let them know that they still loved one another. Because there is this time when suddenly you see this person who looks exactly like you, maybe laughs like you, has things in common that you never imagined you'd find in another person. The brother you were raised with might feel like he was losing you.
Yes, that's true. So particularly Jorge was the one who, with Carlos, he decided that he wanted to create a symbol of their fraternal relationship and knowing how important and significant it was. So Jorge decided to do a tattoo of Carlos in his chest. He already had a tattoo of his mother who had passed away. So this was a very symbolic act for Jorge to let Carlos know that regardless of the circumstances, he's going to be his brother forever. And that was very meaningful for Carlos as well of seeing that gesture and knowing that it reaffirmed, I guess it removed the fear of finding out about all this information and feeling that you no longer belong to this family and somebody saying, no, the circumstances are not the important part. The relationship is what is counting, and here is a symbol of that relationship. And I think in the other set of twins, which will be the brothers, William and Wilbur, Wilbur's first reaction was to tell William, it doesn't matter, again, the circumstances, you will be my brother forever. And I think that is a part of the reassurance that these two sets of boys that had been exchanged felt and had helped them to cope as well into the relationship, knowing that they still feel secure within their own families than they grew up together.
How does the gap in their levels of educational attainment affect the way they communicate with one another and how they relate socially to one another?
That's an interesting question. I mean, I think I would say, for example, when they were being interviewed by Jessica and by Nancy Siegel, a twins researcher who was there in Bogota, I would say that in general, I felt that Carlos and Jorge spoke a little bit more often than their identical twin counterparts. And I think that in certain, it depended on the environment. So when they were in Bogota, I think that Carlos and Jorge took the lead a little bit. When they were in Santander, you could almost see the body language change. Mm. In Santander, in the countryside, where there were, you know, people were, Wilbur was riding a horse with great confidence, and William was in charge of making sure that this incredibly fabulous barbecue was being done correctly. You could see their authority. You could see their confidence there. So, I mean, I guess that makes sense. But how they interacted depended on where they were.
1-800-933-5372 is our telephone number. You can also join the conversation via email to think@kera.org or find me on Twitter at Chris Boyd Think. We have Garzan on the line now in Lake Highlands. Hi, Garzan.
Hello, ladies. Good afternoon.
Hey.
And welcome to Dallas, both of you.
Thank you.
I have a question about sort of after the honeymoon phase is over and they get to know each other, these sets of brothers, was there any, I don't want to say dark side, but was there any of the ugly side of a person that came out? I was thinking of the two brothers and from the country thinking, oh, these city-fied uppity, you know, two, and then the city brothers thinking, wow, these unrefined country bumpkins. Was there any of that that came out? And if so, how did they work through it, if they have? And I'll hang up and listen. Thanks, ladies.
Thanks for your call.
Well, I guess I will say something, and probably, Suzanne, you will go next. A piece of me, just even hearing the question when you are asking Arson, is thinking of like honeymoon over. Like that's an assumption that the honeymoon will be over, or there was a honeymoon. I think there is, in every relationship, there are complexities. Whether it's we have been exchanged or we have not been exchanged, still there will be complexities. So I think that they were aware of the differences, but their attitude wasn't about judging how the other person is different or how they are not like me, but their attitude was like, let me be open about who they are because I want to understand who they are. Of course, there are differences about the city and the countryside, but even by us going to the countryside and seeing how amazing these two boys were there and how well they were moving into this area and have amazing control over this situation, it was a way to show to the cities, to the boys in the city, that there's another level of skills that they don't have, and to be able to value them from that degree. So I don't think there was a very overt rejection among them, each other, criticizing each other because they were not like them. They were aware of the differences in that sense. I don't know what you think about that, Susan.
Well, I always revert back to this one story. I think that for Carlos, it was less an issue of having an identical twin who is sort of a, you know, a countrified kind of version of him. He found it just, he always considered himself fiercely independent and unique. He really prided himself on his individualism. So I think he was very threatened at times and uncomfortable with the fact that there was an exact replica of him out there in the world. And there was one story about a picture that Wilbur took of himself, you know, bare-chested in a river in Santander holding these chickens. And Carlos apparently said, you know, don't put that on Facebook. People will think it's me. And, you know, Carlos says, you know, well, it's because his hair was slicked back. And so he really did look just like me in that photo. But I also can't help but wonder if part of it was that he did feel uncomfortable with a sort of country peasant kind of counterpart of himself being up there on social media for all the world to see. I don't know, but I think that's part of it.
Simply as a reader who became really obsessed with this story the moment I saw it, I haven't been able to stop sort of running the alternate scenarios for my own life, for people that I know, had they been raised in really different circumstances. And I wonder if it was, you know, if you all found yourselves playing that same game with yourselves.
Well, yes, definitely. I think it's a part of it. I guess from my side, my wishful thinking is that these twins will continue growing so much into their lives. And then even about the generosity of sharing this story with the whole world will come something amazing for them. That's my desire for them. But then there are thoughts about how life could be different. And at the end of the day, I will never have the answers. And I know they are very happy with whom they are, each one of them. And they feel proud about their upbringing. And they just have accepted this situation of how it is. Instead of like so much dwelling of what it could have been different, is how we are going to look into the future and how we are going to shape our lives now on that we have this information.
It's a funny question because I will say that I spent some time trying to put myself, let's say, in Carlos's position. You know, I grew up basically in New York City. And so it's funny that we're doing this Dallas interview because I kept thinking, what would it be like to meet a version of me who was raised in maybe on a farm somewhere rural in Texas and had a really strong Texas accent and looked just like me but dressed really differently and had a really different accent and probably really different values? I did try to wrap my brain around it that way.
I'm also fascinated by the idea that, of course, particularly for William and Carlos, who would go and visit, for Jorge and Carlos, the names are making me crazy here, Jorge and Carlos, who grew up in Bogota and went to visit their sort of new relatives, newfound relatives, if you want to call them that, in Santander. There were lots of people in Santander who were ready to welcome them with open arms and sort of expected them, because they were familiar with the men who were their twins, to feel kind of an instant connection with these people.
Yeah, to some degree, that was true, especially with extended family. From Wilben and William, they were very open to Carlos and to welcome him and to be kind of part of the interactions. And for Carlos, it's the sensation of these are people who I don't know and a little bit more cold and wanted to warm up in his own speed to the family. So sometimes that was a little bit difficult for him.
Carlos seems to have struggled more with all of these questions than his three brothers. Is that accurate?
Well, I think Carlos and William were the two that were switched. So I think they had the most emotional responses to all of it, although certainly Wilbur and Jorge could grieve the loss of the opportunity of being raised with their true identical twin. But I think there was the most at stake for Carlos and for William. And I do think it was very hard for both Carlos and William. I mean, you know, Carlos grew up without a father, and I think that was painful for him. And seeing that William came from this beautiful, warm, large family, you know, but at the same time, William could have had the education he always wanted, and he did, I think, always feel very different. So I think it was very hard for both of them. And again, I do think they both have come out on the other end and have really made peace and are very grateful for where they've ended up. But I think those two had different kinds of grief and regret and loss, but both experienced it quite painfully.
The only time that William ever really had it out with his own mother, the mother that raised him in Santander, was when he was furious that he'd had to quit school and couldn't take opportunities later in his life that he really wanted to, serving in an elite military unit.
Yes. He still has a very close relationship with his parents and particularly with his mother, which is something that the mother had highlighted, the biological mother of, I guess, of Wilbur and Carlos, Ana Adelina is her name. She has highlighted how close she has been with William growing up and how he was probably the only child who will pamper her and play with her and be very mindful about her emotional stage and wanted to make her happy into different situations.
But they did fight over this issue about the schooling, and he was very disappointed that she hadn't found a way to allow him to keep going to school.
We're speaking this hour with New York Times reporter Susan Dominus and social worker Jessica S. Montoya, who works at Columbia University. The article, The Mixed Up Brothers of Bogota, appeared in the New York Times Magazine July 9th. You can find it online. We'll come back to the conversation in 2 minutes.
Funding for Think comes from the SMU Master of Liberal Studies program. You can apply now for fall and design your own master's degree at SMU, a customizable evening master's degree for working professionals. More at smu.edu/MLS.
You're listening to Think on KERA. I'm Chris Boyd. We're talking this hour about two sets of identical twins switched inadvertently soon after birth and sent home and raised as two sets of fraternal twins in very different circumstances. We're speaking this hour with Susan Dominus, the New York Times reporter who told their story in the magazine July 9th, and with social worker Jessica S. Montoya, who has interviewed and studied the brothers to learn more about the ways they are different and the ways they are alike. If you'd like to be part of the conversation, you can call 1-800-933-5372, or you can email think@kera.org. I don't know much about Colombian law. Is this the kind of situation that could be grounds for a lawsuit there?
Well, it is complex. And, well, definitely, yes, they could review that. What it makes it this situation so complex is that the twins were born, the Santander twins were born in a hospital in Santander. The twins in Bogota were born in what is called materno-infantil hospital. Because one of the twins that it was born in Santander was sick, was taken to Bogota to receive treatment because they were preemies. And at that place took the exchange, right? The hospital is no longer active. The materno-infantil from Bogota had been liquidated, and it has a very long history of lawsuits, even with the workers who were part of this hospital many, many years ago. So the future of perhaps having even to whom sue is very difficult in that sense. But certainly the twins may have the possibility to search for some legal action in that sense.
Are they like minor celebrities now in Colombia?
They definitely got a lot of press now with the New York Times. They are. I think people recognize them in the streets, and also because of the story being so fascinating. Originally, had been in a TV show, which was Séptimo Día, which is the TV show that I accidentally watched the clip, and out of all of this, we are having this interview right now. And so, in that sense, visually, people in Bogota, particularly in Colombia, recognize them. So sometimes they get reactions when they are commuting. They commute by public transportation. And so people talk to them. And definitely if the four of them or the three of them are together, people sometimes make a point to get closer to them and to talk to them and ask questions about who is who and what do you like and just type of relationship questions with them. But they have been very graceful about it as well.
Do you think, Jessica, that the fact that you and Nancy Siegel were there talking to them and helping them process this, in fact, affected the way they processed the time they spent together when they first met, the way they think about this whole situation?
Well, there were a lot of things that they already were doing and coping with this situation. But I do believe that every time that you start to interact with a group of people, you are part of that context and you interact with them and you get affected by them and as they get affected by you. So I do believe that we were having a whole time together, having questionnaires about themselves, asking a lot of information, opening up a space for exchange of information. I do believe that to some degree they had been positive impact on them and being able even to identify areas of conversations that maybe they never had that may be a little bit uncomfortable that allow that to identify that they need to be taking place. And later on, maybe when we left, some of those conversations already took place. So I do believe that we get impacted as well by them as they get impacted by us.
Do they laugh the same as... Are they more likely to laugh like their fraternal twin, like their identical twin?
Identical twin.
Yes, and, identical twin.
And when I met Anna, we first met Anna, there was a party being held in Santander for the boys, and it was quite busy and didn't really get a chance to talk to her. But then I saw her on a second trip to Bogota, more relaxed, visiting Bogota, and her giggle is just like Carlos's giggle. And Carlos was the biological son of hers who was raised in Bogota. And when I heard her giggle, I even got a little chill. It was so interesting to me.
It is funny the things that we just don't really think about where they come from, but we don't typically assume that it's our genes. You know, the ways that we the sound of our laugh seems like something that you would sort of develop over time rather than having it be pre-programmed. I wonder about like questions of even free will and what this does to the brother's perception of that.
Well, there is a lot of questions about that, definitely. For us, I guess, was eye-opening that sense of seeing the biological aspects of them, like the way they were walking. It was the way they were sitting, the way they were laughing. They were very components, and it was very related to their biology. For example, the way to wanted to dress in certain way. We noticed that Carlos and Wilbur, they were prone to fashion, and they wanted to dress in certain way, and they wanted to fix their hair in certain way, while Jorge and William were more like casual dressing. They didn't care about those things, but they were very sociable, and they were very charming, and they wanted to make sure that everybody is having a good time while being together. So we are seeing those components of the biology aspects of that and how strong they are into certain things. Some of the studies that we are doing right now, and this is being led by Nancy Siegel, is the epigenetics of being able to study a little bit more of the change of the environment, how affect the genes. And we don't have that information yet. It's been sent to Australia, and it's part of the process of what we are waiting, but I think definitely it triggers more questions. I would say at the same time, we need to study the other parties, how the environment shapes who you are, and what is the impact into what percent. We always speak about 50-50%. And I don't know if we are able to come with a final hypothesis of how we are, but definitely we can have very good examples of how the biology has such a strength such a strong aspects of it, how that determines a lot of aspects of our lives.
Susan, you... I'm sorry. Please go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say that, you know, Nancy comes from a background in which she's part of behavioral geneticists who... She's part of a team of behavioral geneticists who are among the first really to establish just how much genes really are responsible for certain kinds of things, like it's thought to be, you know, personality, which was a very controversial idea. And I think a lot of Nancy's research is has concluded that genes account for more than people would have thought, more than they realize. But Nancy came away from this experience with the boys, as she put it, with a very healthy respect for the power of the environment. In other words, she sees how similar William and Jorge are in so many ways. And yet, because the environment was so different, the two boys did not end up in just the same place socioeconomically, which, you know, in her experience does sometimes happen with reared apart twins, is that they do end up in lifestyles that are remarkably similar, even if their backgrounds are pretty different. The backgrounds for William and for Jorge were really different. And so she felt like she had a new respect for the environment in that way.
Let's go back to the phones now. This time we have Jim on the line in Fort Worth. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Chris. Thank you again for another good show.
Thank you.
You sound like you could have been a twin, but I guess this is a subject everybody's probably interested in. I lost my twin brother about 6 years ago.
Sorry.
And thank you. And that was like an abyss. I think our identity is formed in our culture, and it's partly the roles we learn, and it's partly what our culture approves or disapproves of. We have, as humans, we have a big need. To be accepted, and that really has a huge impact on that identity and personality that we're all talking about. I hate to do this. I've done this before to you, Chris, but you're talking with people who have a book out, but there's a book called Trauma and Human Existence by a guy named Storlo that talks about some of these issues that we start off with as infants and have to learn or relearn during our lives. I enjoy your show.
Well, thank you. We'll have to check the book out, Jim. I appreciate the recommendation. You know, one thing that Jim said made me think about the fact that both of these sets of brothers must have, you know, in their mid-20s, right before they met each other, have thought they understood what twinness meant, right? Like that they understood what it was to be a twin brother, but then they had this whole other level to comprehend.
Well, I think that, you know, Carlos and Jorge, for example, I feel that for them, twins meant we live together, we support each other, we help each other out financially, we root for each other's success, and the two of us together are stronger than one. But they also fought a lot. They also had real differences. I think there were things about each that were frustrating to the other, and they just accepted that was sort of, you know, how most brothers are probably. And I think Jorge and William, his identical twin, have found a very different kind of twinship. And that twinship is and by the way, I would say the same was true of William and his fraternal twin, Wilbur. Okay. They fought. They were there for each other. They helped each other. They lived together. But they also fought a lot. They were, you know, frequently frustrated with each other. And by the way, frustrated by the same things that frustrated their counterparts in Bogota. But the point is that, you know, there is something really unusual about the relationship that William and Jorge have together now. They really they speak almost very often at night before they go to bed, just to check in, and, you know, after they say their prayers, and they and there's a closeness there, and an understanding, and an affection, and a physical affection, and an easiness that I think is unlike anything they've had before.
Susan, you mentioned that you went to Colombia a couple of times in reporting this story. Had you worked extensively in Latin America before?
I'd never, ever been. I had a wonderful, wonderful translator named Alexandra Lang. And, of course, Jessica was there as well, being a translator, a guide, you know, providing insight at every step. And so it was a totally new experience for me.
Okay, so here's my question, because, Jessica, you are originally from Colombia, is that right?
Yes, I am, from Bogota.
Okay. So for you, Susan, you know, there are, from culture to culture, people are the same in many ways, but there are certain questions that you can ask straightforwardly to an American or a Brit that you couldn't ask a person from Japan or a person from Australia. And I wonder if there were times when you had to sort of figure out how to phrase things, how to express questions that you wanted to understand in a way that would be not just sensitive to the situation, but also culturally sensitive.
That's really interesting. I mean, I would say that, you know, just to speak broadly and stereotypically, perhaps there's a little bit more of a macho culture in Colombia, but you find that in America as well. And I think the boys were, I hope and think, remarkably frank. You know, with time, those barriers kind of come down. And Jorge and Carlos have a wonderful sister named Diana, and she shared a lot of her insights. And I think once I had a sense of how she perceived things, it was easier to go back to the young men and say, you know, Diana saw this in you, or Jessica observed this. And then they would sort of open up a little bit. But, you know, that challenge that you're talking about, it happens everywhere you report. It's a different culture, and those adjustments happen, you know, almost without you really noticing.
Jessica, I would imagine that if you were able to do so, you could think of 20 new questions that you wanted to ask the brothers every day for the rest of your working life. how do you decide where to sort of tie a bow around your research and sort of leave them to live their lives? And if you have to make some limitations, what is most important to you to understand?
Wow. Well, it was definitely, I think the amount of questions that we could ask, they were perhaps limited as well by the time that we have with them and by the logistics of being with them, since Nancy and I live here in the U.S. States and they have a life as well. They work, they are busy, they have different schedules. So we decided kind of to do like a basic information as much as we can get, like some of the intelligence tests, some of the personality information, definitely lots of questionnaires about the relationships, growing up, environments, the religious beliefs, values, that type of information as much as we could gather. And we kind of stopped there now, and the genetic components of it as well, with the family, the immediate family members that we could interview. I definitely have questions for them. I definitely would love to be able to see them again in a test setting of being able to gather information certain amount of years in the future, and just to see where they are at that moment and being able to see how they have navigate all this new information and how what has been the impact of all these relationships and connections into their lives. That would be something that I would love to be able to do as well with them in the future.
Sometimes parents and children separated by adoption find each other in adulthood, and then sometimes the relationships blossom. Sometimes everybody's curiosity is satisfied and the relationship sort of ends. It seems like these brothers will be together for the rest of their lives in some way.
I do believe that they have the value, and a part of that, I guess, is Colombian values as well of family, which is very important, and it gets reinforced in your life constantly. So you see it in both sets of twins, the family from Santander, the family is the family, and we are brothers and forever, and we will still taking care of you, and you will be part of us, even though if you biologically are not related to us. And I would say the same from the siblings in Bogota. So the concept of family, I guess, ties things up, and definitely we'll see the relationship continuing from the future.
Social worker Jessica S. Montoya is a lecturer at Columbia University School of Social Work. Susan Dominus is a reporter for the New York Times. Her article, The Mixed Up Brothers of Bogota, appeared in the New York Times Magazine July 9th and is available online. Ladies, thank you so much for making time for us.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, it was great. Thank you.
Think is produced by Stephen Becker and engineered by Shelley Canavy. I'm Chris Boyd. Thanks for listening and have a great day.